Missionaries arrive. During the 1990s, after decades of isolation, Myanmar began slowly opening up to the outside world. In response, the branch office sought government permission for missionaries to re-enter the country. Finally, in January 2003, Gilead graduates Hiroshi and Junko Aoki arrived from Japan, the first missionaries to enter Myanmar in some 37 years. With so few foreigners in the country, we needed to be discreet so that the authorities would not misunderstand the nature of our preaching work, says Hiroshi. So we began by accompanying the local brothers and sisters on their return visits and Bible studies. We soon discovered that the people of Myanmar love to talk about spiritual things. During our first morning in service, we started 5 new Bible studies. We often experienced Jehovah's guiding hand, Junko adds. Once, while returning by motorbike from a Bible study near Mandalay, we had a flat tire. Pushing the bike to a nearby factory, we asked for help to repair the tire. The security guard let Hiroshi and the bike inside, but I had to wait at the security booth. The security guard was curious. "What are you doing here?" he asked. "Visiting some friends," I replied. "For what?" he pressed. "A religious meeting?" Unsure of his motive, I ignored his question. "Be frank," he insisted. "Which organization are you from?" I took a copy of the Watchtower from my bag and showed it to him. "I knew it!" he exclaimed excitedly. Turning to his co-workers, he cried out, "Look! An angel has flattened a tire to send Jehovah's Witnesses to us!" The man reached into his bag and pulled out a Bible and one of our tracts. He had studied with the Witnesses in another area, but had lost contact with them when he moved to Mandalay. We started a Bible study with him on the spot. Later, some of his co-workers studied too. In 2005, 4 more missionaries arrived in Myanmar, this time from the Ministerial Training School, now called the Bible School for Single Brothers, in the Philippines. One of the brothers, Nelson Junio, faced a challenge common to many missionaries, homesickness. "I often cried and prayed before falling asleep," he says. Then a kindly brother showed me Hebrews 11:15-16. It relates how Abraham and Sarah did not keep longing for their former home in Ur, but kept moving forward in harmony with God's purpose. After reading that scripture, I didn't cry anymore. I began to view my assignment as my home. Good examples benefit many. In the first century, the Apostle Paul counseled Timothy, "The things you heard from me, commit to faithful men, who in turn will be adequately qualified to teach others." 2 Timothy 2:2. Taking this principle to heart, the missionaries worked to help the local congregations in Myanmar come into closer alignment with the theocratic procedures of Jehovah's people worldwide. For example, the missionaries observed that many local publishers taught their Bible students by having them repeat answers directly from the book, a method used in most Myanmar schools. We patiently encouraged the publishers to use viewpoint questions to draw out the students' thoughts and feelings, says Jomar Ubinya. The publishers readily applied the suggestion and became more effective teachers as a result. The missionaries also noticed that many congregations had only one elder or ministerial servant. Some of those appointed brothers, although faithful and hardworking, tended to deal with the flock in a very authoritative manner. Of course, the same human tendency must have existed in the first century, when the Apostle Peter urged elders, "Shepherd the flock of God in your care, not lording it over those who are God's inheritance, but becoming examples to the flock." 1 Peter 5, 2-3. How could the missionaries help their brothers? We worked to set a good example by being extra kind, gentle, and approachable, says Benjamin Reyes. Their good examples gradually rubbed off. Many elders changed their approach and began caring for the flock in a more compassionate manner. Improved translation brings benefits. For many years, the brothers in Myanmar used a 19th century vernacular Bible translated by one of Christendom's missionaries with the help of Buddhist monks. This translation contains many obsolete Pali language words and is very difficult to understand. So when the Myanmar language New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures was released in 2008, the brothers were ecstatic. The audience applauded for a long time, and some even wept for joy when they received their personal copy, recalls Morris Raj. The new translation is clear, simple, and accurate. Even Buddhists find it easy to understand. Soon after the translation was released, the number of Bible studies in the country increased by more than 40%. Like many other languages, the Myanmar language comes in two forms: a formal style, rooted in Pali and Sanskrit, and a colloquial style, used in everyday speech. Both styles are spoken and written. Most of our older publications used the formal style, which growing numbers of people now find difficult to understand. With this in mind, the branch recently began translating publications into everyday Myanmar, which most people easily understand. These new publications have had an immediate impact. The translation department overseer, Thon Thuy U, explains, "People used to say, 'Your literature is of high quality, but I cannot understand it.' Now their faces light up and they start reading right away. Many exclaim, 'This literature is so easy to understand.' Even the commenting at congregation meetings has improved, since the audience now clearly understands what is written in our publications." Currently, the translation department has 26 full-time translators working in three language teams: Myanmar, Hakka Chin, and Ska Kyin. Literature has also been translated into 11 other local languages.